I invite you to open your Bibles with me this morning to Romans chapter 12. If you're using a Bible provided near your seats, you'll find that on page 1035, page 1035. I am so excited to introduce to you this morning this new series called the R12 series, R12 standing for Romans chapter 12. And we're going to be thinking in the next five Sundays, the five Sunday mornings of June, about this question: what is true spirituality? What are the pathways? What are the directions? What are the habits, the patterns, the way of living and relating to God and to others that lead us down a path of true spirituality? I brought with me this morning to help us just think about how you find direction. Our old GPS, it's kind of dusty because my wife has taken to going back to her maps. But we have a GPS, and it has old maps loaded into it, and it helps you find your way. We use it especially when we're in a place and it's dark and we have no idea, you know, where we are. You've got to find some location, especially in a neighborhood. Very, very helpful. But my wife doesn't like it anymore because when we're traveling and we're going a long distance, let's say, you know, you're going to Florida or you're going to Colorado or you're going to California, you're traveling along and you stop because, you know, the kids have to use the restroom, you need to get a snack or whatever. And, you know, GPS tells you how long it's going to be until you arrive at your destination. So you go and you have your snack, you take a bathroom break, you come back in, and then it tells you how long you were in there, right? And she hates that. And so she's finally just packed it up and she's gotten out her map, and she's back to being the navigator with the map because she hates thinking, oh, that was 45 minutes and I was hoping it was going to be 30. But a GPS is a wonderful tool to help you find your way. And maybe you've even named your GPS, you know, the voice of your GPS. We debate in our family the name of the gal's voice, what she should be and what she sounds like. But it's a good tool to help you find your way, but it's not perfect. It's not a perfect tool. Sometimes it sends you the wrong way, sometimes because of construction, you get turned around. It's a helpful tool. We're going to be thinking in the next weeks about God's direction that sends us down a path toward true spirituality, and we happen to have like a perfect GPS at our side. He's the way, he's the truth, and he's the life. Jesus is the one who will be guiding us in the next 5 weeks to think about the answer to this question: what is true spirituality? He gives us, of course, the perfect picture of what it looks like to relate to the Father, and we're going to be thinking about that together in these next 5 weeks. What we're going to be doing is looking at Romans chapter 12 and going sort of verse by verse or section by section through this one chapter over the next 5 weeks, and we'll be trying to answer the question, what is true spirituality? So I'd like to read Romans chapter 12 for you this morning, and I want to leave you with this challenge right from the start. And that is, between now and next Sunday, I challenge you, as many days as possible, you know, up to seven, that you would read this chapter again. Once a day, read Romans chapter 12, and we're going to be thinking about it for the next 5 weeks. But you'll get very familiar with these truths if you start reading them once a day for the next 7 days. Hear God's holy word from Romans chapter 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is true worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not think you are superior. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I'd like you to think with me for a few moments this morning, back in your life. Back in your life and about your spiritual journey. Back perhaps to your earliest spiritual memory. If you take a look at this next slide, it's just a picture of some stained glass windows to help you think back to that church you grew up in, that place where you began your life with God. What did that church look like? What was the inside of it like? Go back in your memory. Go back to your family. Try to remember, where did that first spiritual thought occur to you? When did you recognize who God was? What impacted you? When I think back on my life, I remember being in church and the music. The music is something that stands out because sometimes the music just seems like it would lift your soul. Even as a child, you could be caught up in the great music. I remember my dad reading the Bible at the table and praying. I remember him taking me to a place called the Seamen's Mission. I think it was somewhere near Gary, Indiana, where Christian Reform folks from Illinois would go to Indiana and ships would come in from all over the place. And they'd have a ministry to the guys who worked on the ships, a place where they could come for a meal and, you know, for some spiritual conversation. I remember growing up as a kid knowing the right answers to the Christian faith, but not having a relationship with God. When I went to college, I met people who had a relationship with God that was different than mine. They knew right answers too, but they had an intimacy, a passion about their relationship with God that I didn't know up until that point in my life. It was there that my brother made me wonder about, what about all those other religions of the world? Couldn't they be right? And so as a college kid, I set off on a quest, and that included reading the Bible. You know, reading the Bible from an adult perspective, and reading the Bible, and reading it some more, and reading it some more, and finding out things that I'm sure I had heard again and again and again throughout my life, but all of a sudden, you know, lights went on, the Holy Spirit moved in, and God created space in my heart for Him. Found out He was a God who was full of grace and mercy. He was slow to anger and abounding in love. Discovered that He was holy, and I could never be good enough to earn a heavenly reward from Him. That wasn't how it worked. I found out He wasn't angry. He wasn't seeking to punish me at every turn or every follow-up or every failure. That He wasn't a cosmic scorekeeper counting up all the good deeds and the bad deeds and weighing them, because of course the bad ones would certainly outweigh the good ones. Found out He wasn't the force either, that I had to somehow mysteriously get connected to. Found out He was a Father, Father in heaven. And that's a beautiful part of a spiritual journey with God. If you come through all the different kinds of steps you can walk through, all the different influences of your life, go back to those early memories, and try to remember, when did you come to the place where you realized God wasn't just out there, but He was a Father? your Father, your heavenly Father. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, John puts it this way: how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. In these next 5 weeks, we're going to be thinking about God our Father and answering that question, what is true spirituality? And the answer is going to be based on a relationship with God. Relationship with God, relationship with others, relationship with ourselves. We're going to be thinking about all those things together. And so the fundamental question is, what is true spirituality? Romans chapter 12 is going to help us answer that. God, by his grace, helping us look at some Old Testament characters that exemplify the truths of Romans chapter 12. We'll combine those things together and hopefully get a clear picture. But true spirituality maybe can be summed up in just one word, and the word is response. How do you and how do I respond to God who has reached out in love to us? How do you and I respond to God who in his grace and mercy revealed himself to us? How do you and I respond to God who says, come to me and confess your sins and I will forgive them, who cleanses us? How do we respond to God? That will define our spirituality and our relationship with him. But before we look at Romans chapter 12 in these weeks ahead, it's important for us to look at the whole book of Romans for a minute and see how Romans chapter 12 fits into the big picture. Because Romans chapter 12 comes after, and I was a math major in college, so I know this, it comes after Romans chapter 11. Okay? But chapters 1 through 11 have one focus, and chapters 12 to the end of Paul's letter to the Romans have another focus. The first 11 chapters focus on what God has done for us. The last chapters, from chapter 12 to the end, focus on our response to God. And in these past months that we've been talking together about freedom in Christ and spiritual warfare and the Holy Spirit, we have been thinking, in a sense, about all the things that God has done for us. And as we come to this focus on Romans chapter 12, it makes sense that we would talk some more about what's our response to God after all that he's done for us to set us free, to protect us by his spiritual armor, and to fill us with his Holy Spirit. How do we respond, live, act, move, breathe in response to all that? So if you look at the next slide, you see that Romans chapter 12 is the faith response to what God has already done for us. Chapters 1 through 3, if you look in Romans chapter 12, talk about the sin that's in the world, the sin that's in our hearts, the sin that we're born with, the sin that affects the creation. It talks about the problem. This is the big problem that we all face. But it also talks in chapters 4 and 5 about God's salvation, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. What has God done? He knows the problem and he provided a solution. In chapters 6 through 8, you could summarize that as God's sanctifying power through the Holy Spirit. That is, he takes people who had the problem of sin, lifts them up and saves them, and then transforms them through his Holy Spirit. We talk about that as sanctification. And then in chapters 9 through 11, Paul talks about the sovereignty of God. When you think things are out of control, you can be reminded that God's in control. When you think that something will separate you from God, you can be assured because his grip is so strong, nothing could separate you from him. And so in these opening 11 chapters of Romans, it's all about the problem of sin that we face, our separation from God that exists, and God's answer and his solution and his ability to reconcile people who were far from him so that we would be connected back to him. And when God does that for you, you say, what is my response? How do I respond to a God who is willing to do so much? How do I respond to a God who has done so much, who has set me free, who protects me from the evil one, and fills me with his Holy Spirit? But what we're going to think about in the next 5 weeks are five key relationships that we have and the responses in those relationships that we have to God in each one. And so I'd like to sort of give you the big picture overview, and in the next 5 weeks we're going to look in detail at each one. And so these five relationships and responses that we'll be considering. If you go to the next slide, you see those five key relationships and the five responses. The first one that we think about as we look at Romans chapter 12 will be our relationship with God. And in our relationship with God, it's going to begin with surrender. Romans 12, verse 1 says, in view of God's mercy, offer our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. We're going to talk about what does it mean to surrender to God? What doesn't it mean and what does it mean? But this relationship with God is always first. What does that look like? And that's what we'll be thinking about next Sunday. Because God is not interested nearly so much in our religious activities or our keeping of rules or our being a dutiful soldier fulfilling a cause. God wants your life and your heart to be in an intimate and joyful relationship with Him. He's a father. Imagine the best father here on earth and the desire that that best father on earth would have to be in relationship with his sons or his daughters. God says, that's how I want you to picture me. Jesus says, when you pray, pray like this, Father in heaven, our Father in heaven. So we'll be thinking about our understanding of who God is because that certainly affects our relationship with him. Five key relationships. The first one that we think about next Sunday will be our relationship with God. The second one will be our relationship with the world and how we are called in Romans chapter 12, after all that God has done for us, to separate ourselves from the world's values. Romans 12, verse 2 says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What does it look like not to conform any longer to the pattern of this world? And that's what we'll think about in week 2. In week 3, we'll think about the relationship that we have with ourselves. Romans 12 says, take a sober self-assessment. You know, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment. What does it mean to think about yourself with sober judgment? And that's what we'll consider in week number 3. In week 4, we'll consider our relationship with believers, that is, with one another, and God's call that we would serve together. What does it look like, and what will it take to have authentic community with one another? Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. And then finally, at the end of June, we'll be thinking about our relationship with non-believers. How do you respond to evil that exists in the world? Romans chapter 12 ends with those words, do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. That's a very different strategy, isn't it? Overcome evil with good. And so in these next 5 weeks, we're going to be looking at this one chapter of Scripture, Romans chapter 12. And if you were listening as we read it this morning, you can see how there's so much to process there. In fact, as a follower of Jesus, Romans chapter 12 could really be a guide and goal for the rest of your life in terms of relationship with God. Here's one other way to think about it. As we think about moving ahead into the month of June, you might think about these five questions, summarizing the 5 weeks ahead. In week 1, we'll think about how do you give God what he wants the most? In week 2, how do you get God's best for your life? In week 3, how do you come to grips with the real you? And in week 4, how can you experience authentic community? And in week 5, how do you overcome the evil aimed at you? Along the way, there'll be a danger, and you need to know about the danger right up front. The danger is that you and I would look at Romans chapter 12 apart from Romans 1 through 11. We would look at it as some sort of list of things that we have to do in order to earn God's favor so that he would smile upon us. And so again and again and again, we'll remind ourselves of Romans chapters 1 through 11. We'll be reminded that God knows our problem with sin and he has set us free. We'll be reminded that God knows we face evil in this world and that he's the one who protects us. We'll be reminded that we're not alone, but that his Holy Spirit fills us and equips us and empowers us. And so when we get to Romans chapter 12, it's our faith response to a God who has already done more for us than we ever asked, imagined, or deserved. But the danger will exist, and the devil will try to twist Romans chapter 12 in such a way that you and I would think about it as, if I do these things, then God will be happy with me. You can't do enough things. God is holy. He is perfect. He is righteous. He says, I love you because I'm love. I'm gracious to you because I'm full of grace. I'm merciful to you because I want to be merciful. But as those who have received his great love, his great mercy, and his amazing grace, we want to say, God, how do we respond? And Romans chapter 12 gives us a chance to respond. God's desire for us is that more and more we become like his son. And sometimes you think about that and you say, well, to become like Jesus, that means to be perfect. No, I'd like you to think about it this way. The more you become like Jesus, the more you relate to God as his child. See the difference? I need to be like Jesus. I need to be perfect. That's not what God is calling you to. He says, I want you to be like my son because our relationship is perfect. Father and son in sync. And so God wants you and he wants me to be more like Jesus so that when we relate to him, we relate in such a way that it's like a parent and a child. When we relate to others, we do it as Jesus did, with the love and compassion, generosity and kindness of God himself. And so in these weeks ahead, Romans chapter 12 will have much to teach us, much to challenge us with. And hopefully along the way, we will answer the question, what is true spirituality? What does it look like for me? Maybe today around the dinner table or out by the grill, if you're breaking it out over this first unofficial week of summer, you can talk to your kids and tell them, this was my first memory of my spiritual life with God. My first realization that there was a God and who he was and what he is like. What does that look like? Or maybe you could have a conversation with your older teens about, in the last 5 years, what has shaped your spiritual journey with God the most? What's something in the last 5 years that's really had an effect on that? And it might be negative, or it might be positive, but what's affected your spiritual life with God the most in the last 5 years? I challenge you this week, and here it is again, read Romans 12. Read Romans 12 as many days as possible throughout the week. If you miss one, that's okay, but make it a goal. Change up your devotional plan for this week and read Romans 12 again and again. And in the month of June, God will have much to teach us about answering the question, what is true spirituality? Let's pray to him together. Father in heaven, we come to you in prayer today because we long to know more and more about being in relationship with you, to know what it means to be your disciple, to know what it means to be your son, to know what it means to be your daughter, to know what it means to be part of your family. And so, God, we pray, teach us about our relationship with you, our relationship with this world, our relationship with ourselves and with others. Teach us, we pray, in these weeks ahead as we embark on this journey together. Lord, we long to know you. We long to know you as Jesus knows you. Father, we long to know you as your Son knows you. And so we pray, Holy Spirit, shape our thoughts, our motivations, guide and direct our path, move within us as the breath of life, and create in us a hunger and thirst for more of God, a hunger and thirst for more of his word, a hunger and thirst to know life and life abundantly that only you can provide. And so we pray to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We look forward to learning together and loving together in these weeks ahead. And we ask this all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.